welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Welcome. We're again excited about a baptism service this morning. And what we do before we have a baptism is we take a little time and we kind of walk through baptism. Why do we believe what we believe about water baptism? And it's really a good time to just help us to be strengthened, affirmed in what we believe, and also just be listening in your heart. You know, if it's something you've never done, and, you know, just let the Spirit of God speak to your heart this morning too. It's an amazing blessing from God. So water baptism, starting out, Jesus gives the command. He says in Matthew 28, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so we see Jesus' parting words in connection with what we've been talking about in recent weeks with Bob Lenz being here, the Great Commission, going into all the world, letting them know the gospel, the good news of God's grace and God's forgiveness. Jesus says, proclaim that good news, and then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, along with the Great Commission, includes in that baptism, water baptism. That's connected to that decision of faith. And so, again, like we said this morning, we're going to simply talk about, minister along the lines of water baptism. Now, kind of saying it off, you know, just can get started up front. Baptism in of itself is not what saves a person. What saves a person is what they do with what Jesus did for them 2,000 years ago on the cross. They believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You confess with your mouth, yes, Jesus, those were my sins on that cross. I, by faith, believe you did that for me. You were raised from the dead, and I receive you as my Savior, as the Redeemer, the Forgiver of all my sins. I need you, Jesus. And it does take the Holy Spirit to show you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. We don't live in a world that has the message, we're all sinners needing a Savior. No. We live in a world that justifies everything it does and usually accuses faith or religion in God for a lot of the problems in the world. It takes a real humility, the Holy Spirit move on a person's heart to go, wow, to break through all the messages of the world and say, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I like to put it this way. Jesus came for saviors, or Jesus came for sinners. Paul said, this is a faithful saying, that Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so you got to know you're a sinner to need a Savior. That's what the Holy Spirit shows us. When you do that, you are born again. You pass from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So know that. But Jesus also said, be baptized. So does baptism matter? Does baptism mean anything? Baptism is hugely important. It doesn't save you, but it's still powerfully important in your life. And kind of before we delve into the message as far as some of the specifics, I just want to tell you, even though baptism doesn't save you, it does some stuff for you. And here's some of the stuff that it does for you. One of the things is Jesus just said, if anybody confesses me before the Father, if anybody confesses me before men, I will confess him before the Father in heaven. When you just from your heart acknowledge Christ in a public way, and honor God, that's a blessing. And God honors and blesses you that you're not ashamed of his name. You're not ashamed of the gospel. And baptism is one of the ways that you publicly confess Jesus before men. I remember getting baptized and just doing that and just sensing a blessing that came just from that public declaration. I'm a Christian. I don't care who knows it. I'm not hiding it. I'm a believer with Jesus. I'm standing with him in what he did. There is something powerful just about that statement, public statement. Baptism does that. There's a funny little quote. A little boy asked Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church in California, Purpose-Driven Life. Some of you might have read that book. He said, "When can I get advertised?" He meant baptized, but he made the right point. Baptism is advertising that you're a Christian. When can I get advertised? You are advertising. You know, I love to watch, I mean, every day, every week, I watch the a Billy Graham Classic Crusade. They replay them on, I think, TBN. And it just blesses me. I love that ministry gift of the evangelist. And the one thing that I love about Billy Graham, at the end of his messages, he'll say, "And now go to church next Sunday." Billy Graham was an evangelist who championed the pastor in the local church. I want to be a pastor in the local church who champions the evangelist and work together in those giftings. And I love that gift. I love his heart. I love what he does. But one day, as I was listening to one of his crusade messages, and I think this is from the early 70s, they're anywhere from the 50s to the 90s. This one is from like early 70s. He just mentioned in passing about his relationship that he had with Dwight Eisenhower. And if you study a little bit on Dwight Eisenhower, it's a pretty amazing background. He was born into a Mennonite family. He was called Dwight after D.L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody, that's how he was named. But when he was 5 years old, his parents became Jehovah's Witnesses. And for 20 years, their house was the watchtower center, you know, until about 1914, 1915, when those prophecies didn't come to pass, his dad got very disillusioned and just stopped it. So here's a man kind of wandering through. I'm sure he's got a lot of different stuff swirling around in him. And he, some point, I don't know the full backstory, but runs into this guy named Billy Graham. And in 1952, Billy is talking to him. And he's talking to him about the Lord and things of God. And he's just kind of wanting to guide this guy and accomplished general. And he said, "Ike, you need to find a local church and get plugged in." And Ike said, Eisenhower, you know, Dwight Eisenhower, said to Billy, he said, "I'll tell you what," because he's running for the president of the United States, it's 1952. He said, "I don't want to join a church right now because I don't want to look like I'm currying votes or I'm trying to, you know," he said, "but I'll tell you what, win or lose, after the election, I will join a local church." And so he ended up winning the election in a landslide. But true to his word, right after he got elected, he joined, it was the Presbyterian Church, I believe, and he got publicly water baptized as a sitting president of the United States. That's pretty amazing. He was true to his word, and he confessed, and it was interesting, you know, when you do that, you confess God before men. There's just a powerful boldness and a strength, and there's just a sense. You sense God's spirit. And the cool thing, when you look at the life of Dwight Eisenhower, it didn't stop there with his baptism. There's a reason why we have in our Pledge of Allegiance, "Under God, indivisible." Dwight Eisenhower put it there. There's a reason why on our money today, we have "In God We Trust." Dwight Eisenhower put it there. There's a reason why we have a traditional annual presidential prayer breakfast every year. 2 weeks after Dwight Eisenhower was elected, he started it. And there's a reason why at the end of every presidential speech that you hear, men will say, "And God bless the United States of America." Dwight Eisenhower started that. That's good advertising. Dwight Eisenhower knew the importance of taking that stand. You know, he was true to Billy. Billy knew it. And he had that relationship with Billy Graham, and he was true to it. And praise God, there's a powerful strength. There's a settling of your decision. Because when you're, especially when you're a new believer and you're starting out, you know, believing, like we say, what saves you? It's believing that saves you, right? But believing is a very intangible thing. A lot of times when a person passes, we'll wonder, did they believe or didn't they believe? But baptism is a very tangible thing. And baptism gives a very tangible evidence of a very intangible expression. And it does a few things. For one, it settles it in your own heart. I remember receiving Christ and experiencing peace and love and joy, and then all of a sudden I'm off and I'm wondering if I'm even saved anymore and, you know, playing mind games that the enemy will do and come into your head. One of the powerful things that baptism does is it settles it. I don't ever have to wonder if I ever really believed, because I really believed, and there was a point in day and time that I stood before men and declared, I believe. It's a matter of natural, tangible record. That helps you as you're fighting the good fight of faith. It's also a blessing to people who love you and who are survived by you after you go. Because they can look at you and they don't have to wonder, no, did they believe? Yes, they believed and they were water baptized. That's a blessing. I'm just talking about stuff that water baptism does. It doesn't save you, but it does a lot of good stuff. I like this as a little excerpt when Paul Harvey was baptized. He said, "The change this simple act made in my life is so immense as to be indescribable. Since totally yielding to him in baptism, my heart can't stop singing. Also, perhaps because baptism is such a public act and because one's dignity gets as drenched as one's body, I discovered a new unselfish consciousness in talking about my beliefs." I think Dwight found that same thing too, a fresh boldness. There's a lot of good things, again, that baptism does. And so, just want to encourage you this morning. Baptism is a huge blessing, and God bless the McAvoy family. It's going to be very blessed this morning as you go down in those waters of baptism. What is water baptism? Basically, it's the acknowledging of a belief. You know, the first a person that we looked at who was water baptized was Jesus. Jesus was water baptized. John tried to stop it, but Jesus won't let him. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness," and he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus was water baptized. What was Jesus' water baptism? You know what he did? He was fulfilling all righteousness. What was John's baptism? It was a baptism of repentance to prepare the way for Jesus. Jesus went through that baptism. He didn't need to repent of anything wrong, but he was validating John's ministry and saying, this is the right ministry. This is good. This is valid. And God blessed Jesus, honored him, and validated Jesus, as Jesus validated John. And you'll notice when you go through the New Testament, the people who received Jesus were the people who received John. When people were baptized, they were the ones who had eyes to see and ears to hear what Jesus was saying. The people who rejected John were the same people who rejected Jesus. Do you remember when the Pharisees got in a little trouble with Jesus when they tried arguing with him one day? They said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things, Jesus?" And Jesus said, "John the Baptist, was his authority from heaven or was it from men?" And what did he said? Well, they were stuck. If we say from heaven, he'd say, "Then why didn't you believe John? But if we say men, we fear the people." They were fearing the people who believed John, who were now listening to Jesus. What was he doing through water? But he was validating. Jesus was saying, "I'm standing with John publicly." All right? It was a good example for us. So we have that example to follow from Jesus too. Colossians tells us, what's the significance? For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of charges that was against us, took it out of the way by nailing it to his cross. You see this contrast of death and life. We died with Christ. We were raised to a new life in Christ. Romans puts it this way. Or have you forgotten when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. You see a death and a resurrection. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter next Sunday. Really great, appropriate time to be talking about baptism because it's a great symbolism. You know, Good Friday is when we see an ugly picture of the bloody Christ receiving the punishment for sin on the cross. There was a dark side that took place prior to the glorious Easter Sunday morning. Our lives are very much like that. There was a dark, old, sinful side to us, a Good Friday side that happened in our lives. We identified with that death. Our sin, my sin, was on that cross. But then there's a newness of life. When a person goes down in the waters of baptism, it is a literal, like a physical representation of a person going into a watery grave. The old man, before they knew Jesus, the sin that was on that cross is dead there. And when they physically come out of the water, it's the same way Jesus was raised from the dead. We're raised to a brand new life in Christ. And of course, this is just a great scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ became a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Now, it didn't mean you got a new body. You got the same body you always had. You have the same family. You have the same geographical location. The change happened on the inside. Jesus told Nicodemus, remember, you must be born again. When we're going down in death and coming up new, it's talking about your inward spirit man, the old one who was apart from God, died and became a brand new person in Christ Jesus. The old passed away, all became new. So baptism is saying, I believe in what Jesus Christ did on that cross for me. And it's a visual representation of the new life that you have in Christ. And so as we look at that, we kind of goes, it asks the question then, who may be water baptized? A lot of people kind of wonder about different things along this line. And so let's just take a quick look at a scriptural example of a person who had this same question. The evangelist Philip talked to a guy who needed Jesus. And it says, Philip ran to him. It was an Ethiopian eunuch. And he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Again, this is Philip the evangelist. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Of course, he's talking about Jesus in that prophecy. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now when they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. So you're going to see three things here that really qualify a person for baptism. In other words, the first thing is that you understand the gospel. Philip explained the gospel to him, and he understood it. He got it. And so he said, well, okay, well, I understand the gospel, Philip. Why can I be baptized? He said, if you believe. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to on purpose believe it. So Philip, like any good evangelist or an evangelist in us, brought him to a point of decision. And in that verse 37, you also see that decision, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When he said that, the chariot stopped. He was a candidate for baptism. I've heard the gospel. I believe it. But you also see another element here that's important too. He had a desire to be baptized. He said, what hinders me from being baptized? You know, when a person believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Holy Spirit, who's been sent to lead and guide you into all truth, will begin to lead and guide you into water baptism because he knows the other stuff that it's going to do for your life. And when a person senses that, it's like, I want to be baptized. I want to stand. I want to declare what I believe about Jesus. I want people to know, I believe. I believe. And so he had all three of those things. He wanted to be, he understood the gospel. He believed, he had a desire to be baptized. Now, a lot of times when I get a lot of different questions along those lines. I was raised in the Lutheran tradition. I was infant baptized. And then I got baptized again when I was, 19 or so, 19 or 20. Now, and so sometimes people have questions about this and different things along these lines. Let me just kind of say this. What we have in terms of what we'd call infant baptism would be something we call dedication. And that's what we see here in the scriptures. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. And he placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. And so we do that. At Door of Life, and a lot of the, where our tradition is baptizing at the point of believing, we have a baby dedication where we speak blessings over those children, lifelong blessings, and we on purpose dedicate them to God. All right? We call baby dedication, dedicated in the spirit and the manner of Jesus. Now, let me say this. If your parents loved and cared to have infant baptism, don't discard that as nothing. Infant baptism is still a very special, powerful ceremony. I don't disregard that. My parents took the time to get me water baptism. There's more than just baptism. There is a commitment of raising your children. There's a dedication in that ceremony of infant baptism. So appreciate that. That's a good thing. Praise God. All right? But also then realize there is a blessing that comes once you believe and you know. You say, what hinders me from being baptized? I know, I believe. The chariots can stop and you can get water baptized. And those blessings that come from your declaration of faith, that stuff that we talked about, will be a blessing to you. So I don't want to discourage or undermine any other. That was my tradition. That's what I grew up in too. And I do appreciate that dedication part of it, and I see it as such. But there is a blessing that goes with actually, being baptized. And probably the other question that I kind of get along, a couple questions along this line, people will look back in the background of their own history and say, I was water baptized since I believed, but I don't know if I was really a believer or not, or it was a situation where I just have doubts, where I was really at spiritually. Well, that's really between you and God. I would say this, baptism is not something you do every time you feel guilty or every time you feel bad. Baptism is a one-time event. It was designed to be a one-time event. You know what? You got a throne of grace that you can go to 24/7 to obtain mercy and find grace to help as you're growing up spiritually. But baptism is a one-time event. It's not a rededication service. It's a one-time declaration. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. All right? So that's important to understand. Did you understand at the time you were baptized the gospel? If you did understand at the time you were baptized the gospel at that point, and you did it and you're just feeling bad because you're working through stuff, you just need to go to the throne of grace, okay? And we're all working through stuff. We're all growing. We're all dealing with things, okay? So baptism isn't the answer for that. But now, if you look back and say, I had no idea what that was, well, then maybe you may need to consider getting baptized to on purpose represent what you believed, okay? That's a question only you can answer. And another question along in that vein I get is young kids. Our Abby is right on the brink. She's right on that threshold of baptism too. What is the right age and things like that? And it's like, well, really, it's not an age. It's really at the specific age. It's at the point where your child knows that they and they understand what it is they're doing. And that's what I like to say. Do you know and understand what baptism represents? And when that child can say, yes, it represents that I believed in Jesus. And that when I'm going down and I'm coming up, the old sinful part of me is gone and the brand new me has come, when they can kind of understand that basic understanding of what baptism is and what it represents, man, that's it. And when they can articulate that, you know, that's really the essence. And there's a desire to want to be baptized. You know, you want your children to be able to look back and remember their baptism as a point where they wanted to be baptized. That's powerful for them when they're 50 years old and they can look back and say, yes, or whatever that is, and say, yes, I remember as a child, or, you know, for me as a teenager. That's important. So these are some of the little murky stuff as we talk about baptism, just to hopefully kind of help you sort things out. And we typically do baptism, you know, as we get needs and desire for people to get baptized, we kind of set things up. So anyway, if that's something that God's speaking to your heart and you're interested and want to be baptized at some point, man, let us know. We would love to have the honor of doing that. And so, you know, that's really it. Water baptism, what is it? It's a public declaration of your faith in Christ. It's a physical immersion into water where you're raised up. It's a very tangible experience to parallel the spiritual experience, to settle in your own heart and mind that you're a believer, and the boldness that comes from confessing, you know, Christ before men. And also, who may be water baptized? The old spiritual self dies. New spiritual self is born. Who may be water baptized? If you understand the gospel, you've decided and made a decision for Christ, and you sense the Spirit of God drawing you to be baptized, man, go for it, be baptized. That's you. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for water baptism, and we just thank you again for the McAvoy family as they're getting ready. We just pray, Father, that you'll just continue to bless, prepare their hearts for this special time, and we just pray, Father God, that you will just bless and just minister to people's hearts too, that they might know whether they need this special blessing and the stuff that comes along with it, Father God. We thank you for it, Father. We just give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.